Very good morning to everyone. The first case on this morning's call is Brian Kilacki against the Coca-Cola Enter Incorporated. Mr. Chakela.
Good morning, Your Honors.
Good morning.
My name for the record is Stanley Chakela. I represent Mr. Kilacki in these proceedings. And from my perspective, I think the issue is whether or not Mr. Kilacki had not complied with the Coca-Cola policy of submitting himself to a breathalyzer and drug test, random breathalyzer and drug test request, from the standpoint of immediately complying to it or not.
The question really was whether he was an at-will employee or not.
That is correct, Judge. But in
if he did or didn't, I mean, there's no provision of law that creates a protected category of breathalyzer test takers. So the normal exceptions to at-will employment, apart from contractual theories, which I know you've argued different approaches.
Correct.
But there's no protected class here, so it doesn't really matter if they were following their policy correctly or not if he was an at-will employee.
Well, from my viewpoint, Your Honor, in analyzing the matters I did in my briefs, I took the position that Mr. Kilacki was not an at-will employee because of the public policy that was in question here, and the public policy being that CDL drivers are required under the law to be drug-free and also to be free of any type of intoxicating liquors. And that public policy, I believe, would tie in with the state of Illinois public policy that requires that anyone operating a vehicle not operated on the basis of intoxicating liquor or drug use.
But why does that convert his employment arrangement? Those are certainly policies of both the federal government and Illinois not to have people under the influence of any substance such as alcohol or drugs operating commercial vehicles. But I don't see how the fact that that is a policy both of the Coca-Cola company and the state means that his employment relationship with the company is one in which he can only be terminated for cause.
Well, the way I correlated the law, Judge, I looked at it from the standpoint that based on the Coca-Cola policy requirement pursuant to state law, pursuant to federal law, that was a public policy consideration which made an exception to the at-will employment situation here.
But where does Coca-Cola ever say, we will not fire people who have clean results on these tests except for cause? In a sense, that's what you're saying.
Well, that's correct. And, of course, in the application form which Mr. Kilacki did execute, which is part of the record, Your Honor, specifically in paragraph 3, this is what it says. I also understand that if hired, I'm required to abide by all rules, policies, and procedures of the Coca-Cola Bottling Company. Coca-Cola Bottling Company rules, policies, procedures relating to conditions of employment are subject to modification by the Coca-Cola Bottling Company without notice. It is my position that if I were to be correct that the CDL licensing law is a matter of public policy because the public would demand and requires the truck drivers who are qualified to have these licenses are free of drugs, free of...
I don't understand how that policy conflicts with the at-will circumstance involved here. How does that conflict with what happened?
Well, the question here, Judge, was should he have taken the test immediately?
He should have obeyed orders, I think is what it boils down to, isn't it?
Well, but Your Honor, in my briefs, I did indicate and did distinguish or did have a case called Advanced Transportation Company that almost had the same facts as this case, where in that case, the court ruled upholding an arbitrator's award that the company when it had random testing, did not require that driver, who happened to be by the name of Coleman, to do it immediately, and it was the company's responsibility. Now, ironically, if you look at the advanced transportation case, the facts, and our facts, both Coleman and Kalecki were required to perform the duties or responsibilities of their job. Because factually, in this case, Mr. Kalecki had to take care of three routes: his own, that of a district manager who was ill that day, and that of another accounting manager who had resigned. When he was instructed to take the breathalyzer test by Mr. McCudden, he wasn't told by McCudden, "You have to do it now." He went on and did his three routes, completed his routes. When he came back at that time, he was told, "Well, now I want you to take this breathalyzer test. I want you to take the third test," which he did do, and he passed. And what is ironic about the facts here, Your Honors, is he took this test on July 9th, 2002, and 10 days later, it was determined by Coca-Cola that he should be terminated because he refused to take the test. He never refused to take the test. His Kalecki case is exactly on point with advanced transportation.
Well, but of course, once again, if he is an at-will employee, none of this matters. If he could only be terminated for cause with respect to something about the test, then it might make a difference whether the requirement was immediately or not, because in fact, although someone eventually takes the test, it's not always biologically equivalent to taking the test immediately. Alcohol, for example, is metabolized at a certain rate. So if the company wants to know what's the blood alcohol content at 7 o'clock in the morning, they're not going to find out by a test administered at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It will change because of metabolism. But it seems to me the most important thing is this doesn't matter if, in fact, he's an at-will employee. It only matters if you can get over that first hurdle and get one thinking about whether there was cause.
Well, perhaps I'm misinterpreting the law, Judge, but I agree that we are an at-will employee state. But I look at the exceptions that relate to the at-will employee.
But it seems the Illinois Supreme Court has drawn those exceptions quite narrowly.
Yes, but I think the Supreme Court has talked about public policy issues as an exception. And I, from my viewpoint, I just look at as this is the policy of the state, of this state and the federal government, the public policy being that drivers, whether they be at will or not, company drivers, have to be drug free. And if they have to be drug free, if that's the policy, then if they are drug free and they're terminated eventually because they are drug free and terminated only that they didn't take the test on time, and terminated when the test on time was never specified by the employer, then I think that the advanced transportation case is appropriately applied because the arbitrator specifically states it was the employer's responsibility to tell the employee at a random test, take it now, immediately, before you hit the road. But
the advanced case was decided under a collective bargaining agreement for providing for arbitration, isn't it? True.
Yes, Judge, but that is true. You have a collective bargaining agreement, but the reason that...
Then you haven't got an at-will situation, have you?
Well, Judge, no, you may not have an at-will, but the principle of advance is important because it's so close to the facts here. And because if you adopt accept the reality that my argument is correct on the public policy issue, then advanced transportation would kick in. I have the only, so I guess I'm in my rebuttal time. I'll have to cease at this moment.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll hear now from Mr. Prenzel.
Good morning, Your Honor. Todd Presnell here on behalf of Coca-Cola Enterprises. Your Honors, the District Court properly granted Coca-Cola's Rule 12C motion for judgment on the pleadings. And I'm here today on behalf of Coca-Cola to ask that that judgment be affirmed in its entirety. Your Honors, in looking at this motion and determining how to look at it, Rule 12C, the standard for that review, standard review for that rule is the same as the standard of review for Rule 12B6. That means you look at the complaints and the well-pleaded facts in the complaint, and certainly accept them as true at this stage, draw all reasonable inferences toward the plaintiff at this stage, and determine whether they set forth a viable cause of action. At the same time, this court is not to strain to find references in the complaint that are not there. Your Honor, I submit that you can look at the four corners of this three-page complaint and determine one thing, and that is Mr. Kalacki was an at-will employee who could be terminated for just cause, no cause, or no cause at all. Your Honor, one thing in looking at the complaint is what is not there. There are no allegations that Mr. Kalacki is a member of a protected class under a federal or state statute. There are no allegations that Mr. Kalacki filed an administrative charge with an administrative agency such as the EEOC. There are no allegations that he engaged in any type of whistleblowing activity. There are no allegations that he engaged in any type of public activity that is protected by constitutional rights. There are no allegations showing a written contract between Mr. Kalacki and Coca-Cola Enterprises for employment. There are no allegations showing an oral contract. There are no oral allegations of oral promises of future employment or of continued employment. And finally, there are no allegations that Mr. Kalacki engaged in any type of protected activity that would make this a retaliatory discharge claim.
So you're just saying there's basically no reverse allegation in a sense that as long as your drug tests are clean, you get to continue as an employee.
Correct.
Yeah.
Your Honors, I submit that your analysis can stop right there and decide that Judge Manning was correct in granting the Rule 12C motion. Just as we did in the district court and we've done in our briefs in this case, we've addressed the argument set forth by Mr. Kalacki in his briefs at the district court level and at this level. But again, I submit the arguments that you've heard today and the arguments that are in these briefs are not arguments that are based on anything that's stated in the complaint. And there was no motion to amend the complaint. Your Honor, just briefly, the retaliatory discharge claim, I submit, is insufficient to survive a Rule 12C motion. There are two elements that Mr. Kalacki has to allege facts to support and to prove. And that is that he engaged in some sort of protected activity and then Coca-Cola fired him or terminated him in specific retaliation for engaging in that conduct. Classic whistleblower type case. Also, Mr. Kalacki would have to prove that the discharge would contravene public policy. As your honors have noted already this morning, the retaliatory discharge action is a narrow exception to the at-will employment. Really only applies in two situations. Where an employee files a workers' compensation claim, for instance, and is therefore fired in retaliation for that, or for engaging in some sort of whistleblower activity, reporting Coca-Cola to a federal agency for some violation, for instance. Again, none of that appears in the complaint, and Mr. Kalacki submitted no facts to support it. The only public policy argument here is that there is a policy in the state of Illinois against persons, especially commercial drivers, driving commercial vehicles under the influence of alcohol. Certainly that is a public policy of this state. But the drug testing policy at Coca-Cola Enterprises furthers that public policy interest, does not detract from it, and does not contravene it. So that argument is a non-starter. But importantly, getting back to the retaliatory discharge aspect of this, Your Honor, I submit that even assuming Mr. Kalacki is right on that issue, where is the allegation or where is the fact that there was a retaliatory motive at Coca-Cola Enterprises and its human resources department in terminating his employment for failing to show up for the drug test on time? I submit that even if there is such a policy that's been contravened here, there is no retaliatory discharge claim. Your Honors, the other argument is this argument there's a contractual agreement here between Mr. Kalacky and Coca-Cola Enterprises. I submit there's just absolutely no proof of that. Mr. Kalacky argues in his brief that the policy, the drug testing policy itself, actually constitutes the contract because he was aware of the policy and continued employment. Drug policy and drug testing policy and alcohol testing policy is just that. It's a policy. It's not a contract. There's nothing in these policies that would make Mr. Kalacky or any other reasonable person believe that he had a right to continued employment, and that if he took the test on time or not on time, passed it or didn't pass it, that he would have employment for an indefinite period of time. There simply are no such facts to support a contractual claim here. There is an obscure condition stated argument Mr. Kalacky sets forth, and again, that only applies where there is a written contract that does not have a definite duration. That, again, is not applicable here. So to come full circle, the complaint in its three pages states nothing more than Mr. Kalacky was an at-will employee and that he was terminated properly as an at-will employee, and he stated no cause of action. Judge Manning was correct to grant the Rule 12C motion, and I ask on behalf of Coca-Cola Enterprises that this panel affirm that decision in its entirety.
Thank you, Mr. President. Sir, you have a minute left. You have 1 minute, sir. You went into your rebuttal time.
I will simply say to the court whatever I had stated in my original argument. I think the CDL licensing is important. I think it relates to the drunk driving public policy statute in the state of Illinois. And from my viewpoint, I certainly believe that Mr. Kalacky complied with the statute, complied with the law, and because he didn't take it immediately, it was not his fault. They should have told him to take it immediately. And I believe in that sense, it's a public policy exception to the at-will employee. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Indeed, our thanks to both counsel, and the case will be taken under advisement. We'll move to the next case.